Yeah, this lecture is entitled Torah Part 7, and is dedicated to the merit and honor of the Rose family. There's no word in our lexicon that captures the essence of the Jewish people, their way of life, their history, and their vision, than the word Torah. Probably nothing better captures the way Torah was and is still viewed to this day than Avos Olam, the prayer which we say every evening to express our thanks for Hashem's love for us by giving us the Torah. And here just the English translation. With an eternal love, Avos Olam, you love the house of Israel, your people. You taught us Torah, commandments, statutes, and laws. Evidently, that was Hashem's expression, the greatest gift to us is giving the Torah. Therefore, Hashem, our God, when we lie down and when we rise, we will discuss your statutes, rejoice in the words of your Torah and in your commandments forever. For they are our life and they lengthen our days, and on them we will meditate day and night. According to the Medrash of Rabbi Nosson, Torah is referred to as being life itself, as we read. Torah is called life itself, as it says, "Eitz Chaim hi lemachzikim bo," it is a tree of life to those that take hold of it. And just as Hashem expressed his love for Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, by giving them the Torah, Klal Yisrael in turn expresses their love for Hashem by loving the Torah, a love that knows no bounds, as we quote another excerpt from Avos Rabbi Nosson, is on paragraph C. Rabbi Nosson said, "There's no love that compares to the love of Torah." In lecha ava ka ava shel Torah. And just as we're commanded to love, honor, and fear and respect Hashem, so too this applies to Torah. As we read now, first from the Medrash Eicha Rabbosi. Love the Torah. What is the source? It is written, "You shall love Es Hashem." This is your God. The word "es," and the word "es" is sometimes a preposition. This is before an object. And some it means "with," and it's understanding it. The "es" is coming to include. You should love that which is with Hashem. This is a drasha to coming to include the Torah. Says, honor the Torah as a written, honor Hashem with your possessions. So S is referring to the Torah, because it's coming to include the Torah. So again, we have another source that the love of Hashem is expressed together with the love of the Torah itself. And the honor of Hashem is through the honor of the Torah. The Talmud Yerushalmi at the end of Brachos applies this principle to the mitzvah of fearing and respecting Hashem. In other words, Rabbi Nechemiah Amsuni asks Rabbi Kiva, this is in the Yerushalmi and Brachos, what is the meaning of the word "es"? It says, "You shall fear Es Hashem, your God." He replied, "He and His Torah." So again, this is different than the Bavli Esesh of the Rabbis Talmid Chachamim from Rabbi Akiva. But in this version, from the Yerushalmi and Brachas, the fear, the awe of Hashem is through the awe of the Torah, or in addition. It's a part of the awe, the fear of Hashem, is respect, the awe of the Torah itself. Torah is also the very first word the Jewish parents are commanded to train their children to recite. As we learn in Masechta Sukkah in 42a, in Mem Beis Amud Aleph, it says, Yedeya ledaber aviv lohem de Torah. When a child is able to speak to his father, must teach him Torah and the reading of the Shema. What in this context could be meant by Torah? Rav Nuna replied, verse in Deuteronomy 33:4. Dvorim Lamed Gimel says, "Torah tziva lono Moshe Marosha Kilis Yaakov." Moses commanded us the Torah, an inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. But the beginning of that sentence is Torah. And just as we ourselves yearn for a sweet life for ourselves through the Torah, study of Torah, we also want our children to share in that sweetness. Every Shabbos we quote the words of David HaMelech in our davening, our prayers. There's nothing sweeter than Torah. As we say on page 3, on top of page 3, it says, Shem's Torah is more to be desired than gold, even very fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Consequently, there developed a custom which was recorded at the end of the 11th century, beginning of the 12th century, by Simcha, this is a Vitri, that was a Vitri, France, was a disciple of Rashi. It's quoted in his work, Machzor Vitri, as we now read here. When a person first brings in his child to study Torah, they write the letters of the Aleph Beis on a tablet for the child. He's first washed and clothed in clean clothing. They need especially for him three loaves, three challahs, made of fine flour and honey. A young girl is the one that does the kneading. They also cook for him three eggs and bring for him apples and other varieties of fruits. They make a point of having a prestigious scholar escort him to the school. He covers the child with his cloak and brings him to the synagogue. They then feed him the loaves with honey, the other eggs and fruit, and they read for him the letters of the Aleph Beis. Afterwards, they cover the letters with honey and tell him to lick them. The child is then returned to his mother, still covered. When they start to teach him in the beginning, the child is enticed to do so. Afterwards, a strap may be administered if he is lax. He begins his studies with Torah's Kohanim, the book of Leviticus. We make him get into the habit of moving his body, shuckling while he learns, which is interesting. That shuckling is mamash a chelik from learning. When he gets to the verse, a perpetual says statute verse. Says lechukas oilam. He reads it in the way it is recited publicly in the synagogue, like that's what he's taught to do it with the trup. After he's brought in, a festive meal is made in his honor. You should know that this initiation is considered as he was brought before Mount Sinai, or Sinai, as written in Scripture, this day that they came to the wilderness of Sinai. It says, by Yom Hazeh, it is not written that day, but this day. The Torah is telling us that every day should be considered in your eyes. The Torah was actually given in that same day. It teaches you how to act towards your child when you bring him into the study of Torah. You therefore pattern the event after the events of Mount Sinai. You cover him up like Moshe with a cloud and bring him up to receive the Torah. It is important to note that till this day, this custom in some form is still preserved. But that's only the beginning. I would like to share with you some of the halachas of teaching Torah to children as they were recorded in the Shulchan Aruch here on page 4. From what age does a father begin teaching his son? When he begins to talk, the father begins to teach him. Which we read this before for the Gemara and Sukkah. There's Moshe, the Torah Tzivalon of Moshe. Moses commanded us the Torah, inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And the first verse of the section of Shema. Afterwards, he teaches them a little at a time until he reaches the age of 6 or 7. This is how the Shulchan Aruch brings at that time, takes him to the teachers of children. I would assume when he says age of 6 or 7, it means the 6th year or the 7th year, based on the Gemara, that it says Ben Chomesh, a Mikra, And it says there's another Gemara in Ksubas about Ben Sheish. So it assumed to be the show means the sixth or seventh year, the beginning. If the custom in the city is that the teacher takes compensation for his teachings, then the father is required to pay until his child is able to read the entire Torah Shebiksav. He is not required to pay in order that his son learn Mishnah and Gemara. This was said only in a situation where the father does not have the ability to pay because of his strained financial circumstances. If at all possible, ever, mitzvah to teach him Mishnah, Gemara, Halachas, and Agadas. Yeah. So this is all, this is from Yoredeas, and this is Reish Mem Hei, so we started off in Sif Hei in 5, we just quoted Zvov 6, skip now to Ches 8. The school may allow children to enter after they reach their fifth birthday, but not before. If the child is physically weak, he may only enter after a sixth birthday. And the Ramah says, even so, when the child has reached his third birthday, we teach him the letters of the Torah in order that he gets in the habit of reading from the Torah. And brings the Barbanel, which is that's, and we get that sense also from the Machzor Vitri. We don't just stop. We don't do 3 years and then just wait. It's a process. Today they go to New Heights. Every room where a child in has the Aleph Beis already. Right after the bris, you know. Yeah. This is in Sif Tes in paragraph 9. Even the child doesn't understand his lessons and still cannot read. Nevertheless, they should not remove him from the class. They should sit together with the others in class, since there's a possibility to eventually understand the lessons. That comes from the Gemara in Bava Basra, and Chaf Aleph. This is the Eitzah that this is Rav gave Shmuel Bar Shilas. The teacher should not hit the student as if he would be an enemy with cruel discipline, should not use a whip or a staff, rather the small strap. Just today, this is not in the, maybe when I was growing up, but today, this is for many different reasons. This is not the norm. The teachers sit and teach them the entire day and part of the night in order to train them to learn day and night. Also, this is, things have changed. Can you imagine if I were to be speaking now to a Rebbe, a first grade Rebbe, second grade, third Rebbe, that learned the entire day and part of the night? You know, the Gemara says regarding other things, you're the chushal olam. You know, that there's a weakness that came to the world. But it seemed that Bizman Hazeh, there's another level besides the Hefkeris that came to the world. And it came, says, and we have a Mida Merubah of Chusha also that came to the world. But this is the ideal in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mamash sat in the Cheder. This is the whole day. And it continues on here in Sif Yud Beis, paragraph 12. They should never cancel their studies in school. And this would say of late Friday afternoon before Shabbos and the end of the afternoon before Yom Tov. You notice it did not include Lag BaOmer. Yeah, this was the way, again, the way Torah was taught up until the modern era. Some circles even today. That atmosphere is understandable. Torah became deeply embedded in the psyche of every Jew, beginning in childhood and extending throughout one's life. I'd like to share with you excerpts from the Shulchan Aruch regarding Torah study for adults to give you a further insight into the place of Torah studies in Jewish life. And here on page 5. Every male Jew is required to study Torah, whether they be poor or rich, whether they are healthy or racked with pain. This is all taken from the Rambam. whether they are young or old. Even if he be a pauper, begging from house to house, or a person with a wife and children to support, he is required to set aside time to study Torah day and night, as it says in the Sefer Yeshua, there's a Vagisa Bo Yomim Valayel, you should ponder over Torah day and night. Under strenuous circumstances where it was impossible to study that day, if he only recited Kriya Shema in the morning and night, one could still apply to him the verse that says, the Torah shall not leave, Le'yemushim Picha, Torah shall not leave your mouths. If it is, there's also a Gemara in Menachos and Memtes on Beis. If it is impossible for a person to learn, either because he simply doesn't know how to learn, or because of other difficulties that he's experiencing, he should provide for the needs of others who are learning. And the Ramah adds, and in those circumstances, considers if he had studied himself, quoting the Torah. And continues on the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Resh Mem Vov 246. This is the Sif Aleph, paragraph 1. In paragraph 4 in Sif Dalet, Shulchan Aruch writes, a person is required to divide his study into three parts. A third should be devoted to the written Torah, either 24 books of the Hebrew Bible, in other words, you should know Tanakh, a third to the study of Mishnah, i.e. the oral Torah, which also includes a study of the commentaries of the written Torah, and a third to Talmud, i.e. to achieve an understanding of the methodology through which one derives the teachings and laws, i.e. through either logical comparison or by using the axioms and postulates which the Torah is derived, like the Yud Gimel Midos or the other Midos. You know, we referenced last week to the Malbim, who puts 613 klolim. And he continues on, for example, if he is a person with a profession or craft, he should be involved in his work for 3 hours each day and 9 in Torah. This is all from the Rambam. He should study the written Torah for 3 hours, the oral Torah for 3 hours, and 3 hours should be spent analyzing, comparing teachings and laws. This daily schedule is meant to be maintained at the beginning of one's studies. However, as a person matures in the study of Torah and no longer needs further study in the written Torah, nor to be constantly involved in the study of the oral Torah, should then only intermittently spend time reviewing this material in order not to forget them, spend the rest of his days in the sole study of the Talmud according to his intellectual ability. And the Ramah writes, person should only study scripture, Mishnah, and Gemara, and halachic authorities that derive their conclusions from that material. With this, he will acquire success in this world and next. He should not, however, devote serious time to the study of other disciplines. This is quoting the Rivosh. Nonetheless, one is allowed to study those other disciplines on a casual basis, as long as the author of the material is not a heretic. Can't study, says he, can't from Minim. Can't study works of heretics. But if he works of other things beyond Torah study casually, he could be studied, but not bekvias, not as a set part of the day. And this is what the Machzor Vit, I just think continue on here. Sorry, here in paragraph 18 in Sif Yud Ches Shulchan Aruch writes, in Resh Mem Vav, the study of Torah by itself is equal to the entirety of all of the rest of the mitzvahs. If a person has a choice of fulfilling a certain mitzvah or to study Torah, if the mitzvah can be accomplished through others, he should not interrupt his studies. If not, then he should fulfill the mitzvah and then return back to his studies. And in Sif Yud Tes, in paragraph 19, a person after death is first judged by the divine tribunal concerning his fulfillment of the mitzvah of studying Torah. Only afterwards is he judged regarding the other mitzvahs. This is taken from a Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zion. And in paragraph 20 in Sif Chof, person should always be involved in Torah study, even if his motivation is not pure, i.e. to gain recognition, to gain a livelihood. Eventually his motivation will become pure. And in Sif Chof Aleph, the The words of the Torah do not remain permanently with one who is indolent, says lazy, in acquiring them, nor with such who study the Torah in an environment of luxury and amidst eating and drinking, but with one who sacrifices life for them and constantly suffers his body, does not yield sleep to his eyes, nor dozing to his eyelids. And the Rambam writes, a person should not entertain the thought that through the study of Torah will achieve wealth and honor along with his learning. One who entertains such thoughts will not merit to achieve the crown of Torah, the Keser Torah. Rather, he should, in other words, the greatness that comes with Torah study. Rather, he should make the study of Torah his main objective and his work only secondary. He should minimize his business activities and be involved in the study of Torah. He should remove from his mind the temporal pleasures of life and spend only enough time in his work to provide sustenance. If he doesn't have enough to eat that day, and the rest should be devoted to the study of Torah day and night. And this is what the Machzor Vitri, we've quoted before, the Machzor Vitri in terms of bringing a child initially to Torah study. This is what the Machzor Vitri writes about this Torah study for the adult. He says, Hafoich bo, hafoich bo. Keep on going back to review and analyze the Torah, for everything is in it. All the sciences of the world are contained within it, as the sage says, its breast will provide you with drink at all times. Just like the breast provides the infant with a taste of milk any time it is sucked, so too any time a person is involved in the study of Torah, he will find a satisfying taste. This is from a Gemara in Erevin, Nundal Ambez. You can learn from it, from the study of Torah, etiquette, derech eretz, and wisdom, referring to science. Now, despite the fact that Torah contains within it many diverse disciplines, from philosophy to Kabbalah, from grammar and biblical analysis to an entire legal system, historically, the focus throughout much of the world has been, for the most part, devoted to the study of Talmud, as we read from the writings of Bezalel, the brother of Maral of Prague, here on the top of page 7. This bitter and long Golos exile is what forced them, for they were unable to teach their children all of the areas of wisdom. Therefore, our holy forefathers saw, especially the Hasidei Ashkenaz, the pious of Germany, to only attract their children to the study of the Talmud, to accustom them and to initiate them to this holy work. For in it lies wisdom, the fear of God, all in one place. It is a true bread and sustenance, and affords us the protection to live amongst the Gentiles. What?
Wait.
This was the memra of Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara's not saying it as Stam Gemara. He was saying, asking the Eitzu what to do, their children. Says Mevim Higoyan. What Higoyan means is a subject of much controversy. From Rashi's Mashma, Higoyan is referring to the study of Chumash, whatever, the Tanakh, in an overly manner. In other words, he was saying, don't devote too much and you'll be taking away from Mishnah and Gemara. He's not saying not to study it at all. There are others based on, I guess, a later usage of the word Higoyan, referring to, referring to philosophy. But it's hard to know that that's, be sure, that that's what they're referring to. And we're speaking about, little children. Pasha Beneichem, they should be, they should be by the laps of the Talmid Chachamim. That's the language there. And that's, the Mashmoyis is that Higoyin is something other than philosophy, which is really something a pursuit of adults. Whatever it is, I don't know, it doesn't take away from this. Just that's overly. What?
It sounds like the Mashmoyis is to make a Talmud priority.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We're dealing with little kids, it's not sure. If it's all in the, I don't think it comes to be how the Rambam learns. I'm just saying, the Rambam learns is the Gemara and you know, Kedusha and Daf Lamed, that you're supposed to be Mishalash your days, and there should be a third and a third and a third. Where he's not coming to argue with that. I think it's just the overly thing of learning Chumash that you can learn. Listen, the Torah is Bereit, you know, Rochav Min Hayam. Within the study of Chumash is you have to understand Dikduk. You have to understand the phraseology. You know, there's just so much involved that you can spend your whole life studying Tanakh. But it takes away from everything else. You know, and that's why, you know, they start off. It says, you know, elephant of the Medrash and Koyelis, says Rava. You know, Elef Nichnosan says Lamikra. So he says, only 100 come, says, come out to the study of Mishnah. Probably means an effective manner. They will have mastered it. And so what happens to the other 900? They can spend the rest of their days just studying me. You know. They don't get Mishnah. You know, so not for them. So he says, Manah, make sure there's a stepping stone to Mishnah. You know, it's not, they don't stick, you know, stay there. A tragedy for the Jewish people was that the Maskilim, in other words, the semi-secularists, at least when the Haskalah started, they didn't portray themselves as atheists. And they portrayed themselves as observant Jews. But they had really no faith in learning Gemara, learning Mishnah, Gemara. And their cheshik was scholarship. And they focused their scholarship on Tanakh with devastating results, because they lack the whole Yerushalayim, that sense that this is God's word and this is God's message. I'm just so totally focused on the Diktuk, and it was created a tremendous churban. And for that reason, in many circles, they stopped studying Tanakh, because that became the purview of the Maskilim. But it came at a terrible loss. Every Gemara is quoting the Tanakh. Oh, Gemaras. If you don't know Tanakh, it's very poshut. It's hard to understand the Gemaras. And even when the Gemara is dealing with the Droshes HaMikra, not necessarily the Pshutish HaMikra, during the embedded meaning, not necessarily the simple meaning, but still you have to know the simple meaning and the flow. And
what's this referring to?
What?
This is not referring to that.
This is before the Maskilim. It just say you have a limited amount of time, and they learn what happens is, as it was in the Chedorim, they learn Chumash with Rashi. Chumash is basic. Rashi is basic to understanding of Chumash. Even of course, there's so much to, and there's so many Perushim, and there's so much in it. But it's basic. It's full of Yerushamayim, Yesodos Amuna. These are the whole foundations of faith. And they really focused on Chumash and Rashi and on Talmud, on Gemara. And to this day, you know, it's rare to find someone who is a Baki, not only in Chumash and Rashi and Gemara, and a Yerushalayim, but a Baki in Tanakh as well. So Jewish people are blessed with people with very great minds, but it's not common. So, yeah, but experience has shown, you know, that we said that this fact, as he's saying, is really to this day. The experience has shown that it is the study of Talmud that has kept the Jewish people so attached to the Torah and its joys. But there's another aspect of the responsibility to fulfill the commandment to study Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, besides its attendant joy and reward. Although mitzvahs are to be taken very seriously, there's especially so regarding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as we read from the Gemara and Brachos. And it says, Here it says on page 7, in section 3, paragraph A, and Hey Omid Aleph in 5A. Kol Shef Shul Lasik B'Torah Ve'in Oisik. One has an opportunity to study and does not study it. The Holy One, blessed be He, visits him with ugly and painful suffering. Says, and to stir him up. As instead, says, he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Nelamti, says, Domia, I was dumb with silence. I kept silence, says, from the good thing, and my pain was stirred up. The good thing refers only to Torah, as it says, Lekachtoiv Nesati Elohim, I haven't given you a good doctrine, forsake you, not my Torah. That's the ultimate toiv. And Chas v'Sholom, the neglect of study of Torah has serious consequences. And it says, this is resuffering in this world, neglecting Torah. Regarding the next world, read from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Sadi Tesom and Aleph in 99. A, he says, our rabbis taught in a brisa. Dvar Hashki, Dvar Hashem Boza. There's a, this is taken from in the end of Parsha Shlach. It's referring to Avodah Zorah, but it describes the consequences of idolatry as Dvar Hashem Boza, that you've despised the word of the Lord. And as I understand this, this is really part of it's a subset of the general despising the word of the Lord, Dvar Hashem Boza. So it's true by Avodah Zorah, but includes a broader part of the mitzvahs. And has broken his commandment, that soul shall be utterly be cut off from this world and the next. First, if someone maintains it, so there's different opinions here. This refers to someone who maintains the Torah is not from heaven. It's Dvar Hashem Boza. There's be Mavaza the Torah, saying really it's not God's word. And those who say this are really cut off from this world and the next. Another rendering, because he despised the word of the Lord, refers to an apokryphos, someone who demeans Torah scholars. Even if he himself is an accomplished Torah scholar and has performed many good deeds, if you're a mevaza, Talmud Chacham, demeans a Torah scholar, he has no portion in the world to come. Another brisa taught, because he has despised the words of the Torah, this refers, and this, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. These are just other ways that when Chas v'Sholom could be mevaza, the Dvar Hashem, the words of Hashem. Another brisa taught, because Dvar Hashem Bozi has despised the word of the Lord, first that he who maintains the Torah is not from heaven. This is another brisa. And even if asserts that the whole Torah is from heaven, accepting a particular verse, which he maintained was not uttered by God, by Moses himself, he is included in, because he is Dvar Hashem Boza. The Torah is a Dvar Hashem. Says it's a Torah is Moshe, because Moshe was the Malama Torah, but it's Hashem's Torah. One says Hashem made it up. Even if he admits that the whole Torah is from heaven, except a single point. Particular, it says, says Kal V'Chomer, says Ad Majus. Deduction or certain Gzeres Shova. There's an Gzeres Shova, is a comparison of words, and there's a Kabbalah that these words, the coincidence of two parshas, of having the same words, is not merely a coincidence, but was really put there to teach us as Gzeres Shova. If you deny that, because he's Dvar Hashem Boza. Because the Torah Shebal Peh also goes into Dvar Hashem Boza. It's interesting, for much of this, those movements that came to fore in the middle of the 19th century and expanded to the extent that it embraced, at least in America and Europe, the majority of Jewry, of Western Europe and America, and the reform and the conservative movement, and it would seem even those who are at least partially to the right of the conservative movement are all included, at least in some part, of this Dvar Hashem Boza. It has been taught in a brice where Meir used to say he studies the Torah but does not teach it. Alluded to in Dvar Hashem Bozo, like it's not worthy to teach. Reb Nosson said it refers to whoever pays no heed to the Mishnah. In other words, he doesn't, he's not medaktik, he doesn't chazer, he doesn't, he's not machshavit. Reb Neroy said whoever has the ability to study the Torah but fails to do so. That's also included. Efshel asik b'Torah v'enoyz. The Shulchan Aruch paskins rules like Rabbi Nehoroi. Whoever has the ability to study the Torah but fails to do so, or someone who had studied scripture and Mishnah and forsook it for the worthlessness of the world and abandoned it, is in the category of Devar Hashem Boza, because he has despised the word of the Lord, has broken his commandment, so shall be utterly be cut off in this world and the next. So really, it really we see says not only the value of Torah study, it's chayenu. It's really the source of life in this world and that. And a person who denies not because he's an onus, because he can't, it's impossible. Of all the chiyuvim, all the responsibilities he has, he just can't only minimally, you know, to say kriya shma yom v'layla, to do a little bit more, but he could actually do more. And he doesn't. So the person has to be fearful. Be nichol and dvar Hashem boza. Like, what is the excuse? On what basis? You feel you're compelled. You can't do it without it. But without an excuse, it goes, Pashas, it goes into this. As you know, as we touch upon a previous lecture, the mission of life, especially for a Jew, is to connect heaven and earth, and to make Hashem's presence manifest on earth, to bring the Shekhinah, eventually leading to the era of Mashiach, the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash, the temple. This we do through a living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. There are two types of actions which are referred to as mitzvahs. One is the fulfillment of an actual commandment. In that sense, a person becomes Hashem's eved, and servant. The other is the voluntary performance of a holy act beyond the call of duty. This midas chasidus, this act of piety, is referred to as an act of someone who is eina mitzuva voisa, someone who is not commanded but does so voluntarily. On one hand, one could argue that since this is done out of love, not connected with any fear of punishments for non-observance, this has a level of superiority. The Gemara maintains, however, quoting Rabbi Chanina, the Godol Amitzuva Voisa Yosem Hashem Amitzuva Voisa. As the Gemara in Avodah Zorah and Dav Gimel, greater is he who does it because he's commanded. And here, we quote here in paragraph B from Rabbi Chanina, the greater is the reward of one who fulfills it because he's commanded to do so, and is greater than the one who does it without being commanded. Now, although women are generally required to fulfill the vast majority of mitzvahs, they are relieved of the all-embracing mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the study of Torah. As we see that it's all-embracing, the amount of knowledge one is required to acquire in his lifetime, the time that his Torah, that his time should be fully devoted. Any time that he's not is occupied in providing for his family, for his livelihood, that there's a tremendous responsibility. Women were relieved of that responsibility. It seems, as many suggest, that because of their special role in creating a Jewish home and fostering an atmosphere that makes spiritual life possible, they're relieved from the responsibility of becoming a Torah scholar. This is how the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Siman Resh Mem Vav. And 246. It says, Sivov in paragraph 6 says, explains this. A woman who studies Torah also receives reward, but not the same reward as a man, for she's performing the mitzvah without being commanded. And the Ramah writes, in any case, she is required to study the laws that do pertain to a woman. because the Ogur was a later Rishon, name of the Smag. A woman is not required to teach her son Torah. Nevertheless, if she does help her son or husband so they're able to devote themselves to Torah study, she shares in their reward. And this is from various sources. The Gemara says Nashim Maizachian is one Yud Zayin Amud Aleph and Brachas. With what are they? Their Zoicha, even it would seem to be a superior place than men. Gdol Haftocha, greater is the promise. Woman, the man, is because they're involved in the bringing their kids to study, helping their husbands study, relieving them of the duties, and he keeps away from the home in order to devote himself to study. It's that sacrifice, that effort, she shares in his Torah studies, and she herself receives the same reward. And from the Gemara in Chof Aleph and Soita, we see that, as we're going to read soon, that not only is it a reward for the next world, but it really has dividends in this world as well, as we will see. The Gemara itself, though, does not explain the rationale behind Rabbi Chanina's uncontested statement that Gadol Mitzvah Voish, Mishena Mitzvah Voish. Tosfos not avoid as Zohar explains. Here you have a number, it's on page 8. It says, greater is a reward for one who fulfills a mitzvah which he is commanded. And Tosfos explains, this is because a person is constantly worried whether he'll be able to suppress his evil inclination, fulfill the command of his creator. Person, it seems you have a greater reward, not so much is because, according to him, because it is a greater mitzvah. It b'esim is inherently greater to do it as a mitzvah voisa. But it says lefum tsara agra, you get reward according to the pain, the emotional pain also that comes with fulfilling a mitzvah. With a man, it comes with greater pain because he has, you know, whatever he always has in him, the anxiety, the fear, what happens if I'm not successful and I don't learn. And this is what we quote here, number 3, Ben-Hei says, I'm from Tsar Agra, reward is based on the level of pain, discomfort entailed in the performance of the mitzvah. Tosfos Ri HaZoken, at least it's Miyuchos, attributed to the Tosfos and the Ri HaZoken. Ri HaZoken was amongst the Bali Tosfos. There are many tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, but the Ri is in a class by himself. The Ri was a great grandson of Rashi, right in Yitzchak. Rashi had a daughter Yocheved who had who was married to Rabbeinu Meir, the father of the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, who then had a daughter Miriam, who was the mother of the Ri. So the Tosfos Ri HaZoken in Kedusha Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, gives us a further insight as to why a mitzvah voisa, when he fulfills a mitzvah for which he's commanded, has a greater reward. And he says, if one is not commanded, is still rewarded. That he's quoting the Gemara so handsomely by the Holy One, blessed be He. It quotes a story by a non-Jew who was mechaved, Dami Bar Nassim. This is a non-Jew who fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibbut Av. So if one as an Ein Mitzvah Voisa, one who is commanded most certainly is deserving of a generous reward. The reward of one who fulfills the mitzvah, this is what the Ri HaZoken writes, for which his command is greater. This is because by fulfilling his commandment, he is accepting the authority of the one who is commanding him. In other words, that he's Mekabel Moris Zametzavol. In other words, it's a Every time one does a mitzvah, and is a mitzvah v'oisa, he's in a sense, it's like, it basically is, like we say, Shema Yisrael, and it says, and v'hoyim shemoa, we're makabal on ourselves, the oil malchus shemayim, the oil mitzvahs, the yoke of divine authority, and specifically the yoke of the mitzvahs. Every time we do a mitzvah, really, we are, in a sense, being makabal oil malchus shemayim. We're accepting that. The main mitzvah voice is not, it's no oil. It's not. He's doing out of love. But it's not oil. So he doesn't have that thing, and it's really quaint. It's a whole. In other words, you have the mitzvah itself, and then you have, in addition, you have the Kabbalah Zohar Malchus Shemayim. So that is the how the Riyah Zoken learns. So, and this acceptance of authority defines our relationship with Hashem and transforms the mitzvah beyond its intrinsic spirituality. It becomes an act of submission, negation of our ego or our self as it merges with the will of Hashem. With this, we can understand that the difference is not just a matter of reward, but a difference in kind. If we now read from the Gemara in Sotan, Chof Aleph, Amad Aleph here. And the Mishnah says if an adulterous woman has a special merit, there's a schus, then the effect of the water is the meis soitan. There's a woman who actually committed adultery, went through the test, she denied it, went through the test in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah guarantees there'll be effect from the water. It says that this ill effect will be delayed, can be delayed, up to 3 years, and then it will take effect. What sort of merit? If I attempt to answer this due to the merit of studying the Torah, that cannot be so. She's in the category of one who is not commanded and therefore does not have that merit. And then rather perhaps it is due to the merit performing commandment. So the Gemara has a problem with the merit of performing commandment protect as much as that. And the Gemara goes on to the question of the protection of Torah versus mitzvahs. Surely has been taught the following. Menachem, says the son of Rabbi Yose, expound for the commandment. This is ner mitzvah Torah. Or the commandment is a lamp and Torah is light. First, the commandment with a lamp and Torah light. The commandment with a lamp to tell you that just as a lamp only protects temporarily, so too the fulfillment of a commandment only protects temporarily. So it would seem any mitzvah that she does. It'll only protect while the mitzvah is being done. And here the mitzvah has been done already. She's drinking the meisoita. We're saying that what she's done before, you know, so what mitzvah is that? In other words, Torah study, it can't be Torah study because ain't a mitzvah voice. And evidently that protection, that special segula, can only be on mitzvah voice. So she's commanded. She's not commanded to study Torah. Commanded to do mitzvahs, but these mitzvahs can only help temporarily. And Torah is identified with light to tell you that just light protects permanently, so the Torah protects permanently. So the Gemara has several, Rav Yosef, Rava, they're different approaches. The final approach is that of Ravina. Ravina said, it's certainly the merit of the study of Torah which causes the water to spend its effect. That's why it has a long-term effect. And when you argue that she is in the category of one who is not commanded and fulfills it, the answer is that even though women are not commanded to study Torah, still and all, when they see to it that their sons study Scripture and Mishnah, and they wait for their husbands until they return from the Beis HaMedrash, should they not share the merit with them? So he says basically is it's that they have the skus of the study of their husbands and children. And that we quoted from the Gemara before. The Gemara in Brachos Yud Zion. Our rabbis said, greater is the promise made by the Holy One, blessed be to the women than to the men. And it quotes the Darshan's Apostolic, rise up, you women, there are ease, you confident daughters, give ear unto my speech. They have a confidence that men don't have. Evidently, they're more assured of a place. Rav Satruvachia, whereby do women earn merit? And he says also similar to what was said in the Gemara and Sota, by making their children go to the synagogue to learn scripture, and their husbands to the Beis Medrash to learn Mishnah, and waiting for the husbands until they return from the Beis Medrash. In other words, they're up late till they come back. Or alternately, there are those who the husband really went away for a certain part of time. This is a Gemara and Ksubas. Well, they went away for a certain amount of time, you know, Samach Beis, and then they came back. So it's this chus that they, and really, I think it was a person without a wife lives without Torah. I mean, the whole Torah really comes. Shor b'lisha, shor b'lei Torah. She really is she enables the man to study Torah. She shares in that reward. It's interesting, the idea is greater is the promise made by the Holy One. Why is it great? You could say she shares, sharing is sharing. For vos it is gresser. Yeah.
So she's doing his bekuach. She's running the house, that's her
tzaya. Right. She does it with betochen that the husband's going to do it. She lives with betochen. My understanding is a little different. you know, a person who learns Torah, as we say, we said, Sukkim Advash and Reifus Sufim, the Torah itself, a person learns Torah, it's like, wow, that's amazing. Kushim Yisurim, Sam Chelev. So someone who studies Torah and studies it, you know, has tremendous joy in the study of Torah. So in a sense, it comes with a tremendous ease. Not for say that there's a mesiras nefesh, I mean, but it comes with a geshmak. That poor lady has to take care of the kids, has to cook, has to do everything. The geshmak of Torah she doesn't have. So her chelik is baicha, shitaka does it surely just because of emunah. The person who learns Torah says, that's the Ribbono Shel'Olam's Torah. You know, there's a quote, I don't know if I quote this. There's a famous quote from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in this week's Seder, Parshas Kisavai. He says that about the Simcha Torah, if a person would realize is the taka, the simcha of what taka Torah is, we'd go crazy with the light. Mishtageya is from the Torah, the simcha Satera. The woman at home, that chelik she doesn't have. And for that, shitaka is noshim boitchas. That's my understanding. Shitaka. What?
That's a my word. It's not the Makabalim.
No.
It's a
right. They're doing mamish b'toyv, mamish their betochen of the mila satayv. You see these women. I see the. It comes. They're raised in such families as this. My mother-in-law, Shalom, you know, the Rebbe from Savitsky. She would, you know, and my father, Goin Adar, my Shver, who was a tremendous masmid. She would go and buy shoes. He didn't want to say that he should go buy. She would buy shoes. And it was a thing, like in the early days, she didn't have a car, you know, you'd have to go by bus or whatever to downtown, whatever. You'd go buy shoes, come back. He would try them on if they're fit, if they don't fit. And then she would go back and return that, which is not. So he shouldn't waste time, says in the study of Torah. They could only afford, they lived in Mosh Betzimsum in the early years. And they could only afford a fan. You know, in the summer months it gets hot. And she's in the kitchen, she got this. But she got bought the fan, says for her husband, says to sit and learn. It'll be easier for him to learn. They says, that comes with a tremendous betochen, the Maila Satayra. It comes from It comes, she came from a family of Torah, understood what Torah is. That's a notion by Chais. And besides the rewards of Torah study in this world, the Torah study plays a crucial role in achieving the next world as well, not just mitzvahs. Of course, we know the idea of, you know, a person is judged in the amount of what he does, and the Torah includes not just the learning Torah. You just can't learn Torah. Torah is al manas lasos. You have to do Torah. You have to implement the Torah study. But Torah itself has a unique role. And this is the Gemara in Ksubas in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Lozer said, Ami Oretz Einan Chayim, the illiterate will not be resurrected. For it says in Scripture, the dead will not live. It says, Mesim Bal Yichyu. I mean, he quotes the Pasuk, so it was also taught in the Brisa, the dead will not live, as this might be assumed to refer to all. Especially stated, the lax will not arise. Those in the text speaks only of such a man who is lax in the study of the words of Torah. He will not have Tchiyas HaMeisim. I mean, you know, we explained before, as the Gemara before, the person has the ability to learn and doesn't learn. Dvar Hashem Boza. Rabbi Yechon said to him, "There's no." But he said, Amirah, he's not speaking about someone who is a learned, who has knows to learn and just wastes his time. He says, and Amoritz, there's no satisfaction to their masters, you should speak to them in this manner. Hashem is not pleased to speak. You know, they're not, say, Dvar Hashem Boza, Bizu is a person does something, bemazed, you know, that they're, you know, they do this willfully. They're not doing it willfully. That text was written for a man who is lax as to worship idols. Is it the laxity is he's avoid his aura. I mean, he's doing terrible things. So Rabbi Lezer replied, that's not referring to the lax in Torah as you understand it. I have another drasha. I make an exposition to that effect from another text where it is written in Scripture. He says that the Kital Oiris Talecha, your dew is the dew of light, and the earth shall bring to life to the dead. He who makes use of the light of Torah will make the light of Torah revive. It will, the light of Torah, the person will be revived by the light of Torah. In other words, if you use the light of Torah, that will give you life. Tchias HaMesim is related to what the Olam Haba says, that phase after death, the Mesim will come back to life, and after that period when the Mesim, those previous dead come back to life, then we'll have Tchiyas HaMeisim. In a Mir Tashem future shir we'll discuss this. But he who makes no use of the light of Torah, the light of Torah will not revive him. He can't have Olam Haba if he doesn't study Torah. This is what. So it's not so much, he says, you described the laxity, and it's like Dvar Hashem Boza. You know, it's a, you know, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's not referring to the Bezoyan of Torah, it's referring to Avodah Zorah. Maybe something similar to it, a person who does Bemezit. But someone who's just lax in terms of, because he's unlearned, and it's very hard for him to learn. And He would not be punished so terribly. So we're below the darsh another pasuk. It's not a question of punishment, not punishment. Right. It's a you have to have Torah. What? Right. Well, so Misha is taki has Torah. He's not a korban maariv. He has Torah, but you know, to take it easy. Listen, the daf yomi I go to, and have a seder at night. And it's true, I could learn. You know, it's just tough. That's what the Gemara is speaking about, the Shulchan Aruch. But here's some friend, he's an Amoritz. He just doesn't have the light of Taiva. And evidently it was not uncommon. Observing that, again, Rabbi Yechon was distressed. And he said to him, Master, so he says he was also distressed. Observing that Rabbi Yechon was distressed, he said, it can't be. It's can't design as Azah. You darshan the Pasuk. How could it be? He said, Hashem can't do this. It isn't, you know, so cruel to the person. They didn't ask to be Amoratzim. They were raised in these families. There was not Teredik and Mishbachas, and it was not uncommon even in Europe. People lived in the Shtetlach, and you know, they didn't ask to be Amayart. It's not like Dvar Hashem Boza, the person is knowledgeable and just decides to, it's not important. So he said to them, Master, he said, this is Rabbi. He says, Master, I have found for them a remedy in the Torah. He says, Atem advekim, Hashem lekem chayim kolchem hayan. Those who cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Is it possible to cleave to the divine presence? No, what does it mean in that expression, dovek to Hashem? You say, I'm an oisik mitzvah, I'm oisik b'mitzvah. What do you mean, dovek? Devek is glue. In other words, what's the dovek? So he says, positive. It's written in the Torah, the Lord your God is a devouring fire. That's because Eish Eichlum. But the meaning of it is any man who marries his daughter to a scholar. So he wants, I mean, basically he's saying, really, Dovik to Hashem is being Dovik to the Torah. The Talmud Chacham is Pnei Yeshua is Dovik to the Torah, he studies Torah. The one who doesn't have the ability, any man who marries his daughter to a scholar, who carries on a trade on behalf of scholars and benefits scholars from his estate is regarded by scripture as if he is cleaved to the divine presence. Similarly, you read in scripture to love the Lord your God, to hearken to his voice and to cleave unto him. Possible for a human being to cleave unto the divine presence? What's meant is this? And again, it says about there's a mitzvah to love Hashem and to be dovek by the Ludovka boy. Any man who marries his daughter to a scholar, carries on a trade for scholars, benefits scholars from his estate, to him as if he cleaved to the divine presence, as he's cleaving to a scholar, and a scholar is cleaving to the Hashem through the Torah. So really, so indirectly, he is cleaving to Hashem. But a person who has the ability to... For a person that has the ability to study Torah himself, a person who doesn't have, and this is the only way, and this is, like the Gemara says, Chishvat Unlas is mitzvah bananas. A person, you know, has wanted to do a mitzvah. He really wanted to do a mitzvah, but he couldn't do my love of kila, so Torah can see as if he did. The Amoritz who can't learn Torah, but does the next best thing to support Torah, to this, Hashem is as if he did Torah. What happens if you could learn Torah? So, Chia Barad is a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Saites Omer Aleph, and this is a Gemara also in Brachas Lamed Aleph and Beis. Chia Barad said in Rabbi Yechon's name, all the prophets about the thing prophesied only respect to he who marries his daughter to a scholar, engages in business on behalf of a scholar, benefits a scholar with his possessions. But as for scholars themselves, says for the scholars, I am Lo Yeroso. Elohim Zulasecha. The eye is not seen, O God, besides for yourself, what you have in store for those who wait for him. Those in Mechakaloi, he's referring to those at Talmid HaChachomim who really have a very close relationship to Hashem. He says it's a different level totally. But of course, as the woman who is responsible for her husband's learning, is not just a thing who has no... Right? So for such a person, as we say, that she also shares in this thing, and that's really her chelik and her elam haba, This is the chelik of, you know, of her husband's. The fact that there's a it says in the eighth Yosef, which is a pirish, which is a commentary to the Ein Yaakov on the Gemara in Daf Ches Amud Aleph and Brachas. That it says greater is Mishanena, it says Megias Kapoy, one who has pleasure from the work, handiwork of his, you know, from his hands, Yosem Yerushalayim, greater than Yerushalayim. So the Eitz Yosef explains, he understands it is, both are Yerei Shamayim. One is a Yerei Shamayim and studies Torah, but does not want to take any support from others. And therefore, he's Nenemi Giyakapoy, and this is not much, but whatever it is, a labor he makes, and he lives on that. That's greater than someone who is Nena, who has pleasure from the Yerushalayim, for the one who, you know, supports the Talmud Chacham. So the Eitz Yosef wants to explain as follows. He says, he who supports the Talmud Chacham has a share in the learning of the Talmud, whatever. He gets a chelik. And he understands it's really a chelik. And that chelik takes away from the chelik of the Talmud Chacham. Like as if there is so much reward for that, for mitzvah Talmud Torah, which right. But it really takes away from the Talmud Chacham. Not only does he get it, it takes away from the Talmud Chacham. So he says as follows: for a person, there's nena from tzedakah. So he says, whatever you learn, says your wife takes half of it. And now the person supports you again. So the only bleib noch mit a viertel. So bleib noch mit garnish. You have nothing. It says better be nene me a gia kapoy. At least the half you'll have. The half. That is very cute. I'm just saying. Others would learn differently, but this is what he says. And I think he also says. He says on that Gemara, he says that there's a Gemara inside Tess in Sanhedrin, that we make a siyum in Mishnayos and Uksan, you know, that's brought down that Shum ben Manasseh said that the Abishur has 310 ilomas, this is for Chol Tzadik Vatzadik, you know, that there's there's yesh, you know, says l'hanchel oiva yesh. You might say yesh, the gematria of substance is 310. So why 310? So he says that there's 600. And this is, I think, this is from the HCA. So again, others would have a different shot. He says that there are 620 mitzvahs, 613 deraisa, 7 drabonin. Al pi Kabbalah, and it's from the Goyin, there's 620 oiros, or lights. So the Eitz Yosef says, well, the wife takes half of everything you do. You have 620 because of your wife. You're only left with 310, and she gets the other 310. Again, that's why there's 310. Others would learn differently, but that you get it. You say his understanding with the chelik that the wife has in the Torah of her husband. This is the Siyum HaTorah here. This ends, you know, this section, you know, of Torah, Miz Hashem in the winter. And this is by hopefully Matzei Shabbos. Got a schedule that will finish. This said that this is the earth, heaven and earth. So this was the T of earth. The H, which is heaven and
earth. I thought we were going to go more into how it actually played out. Because the Marshall today,
Yeah, so you're asking about the thing about the Shulchan Aruch. You're contrasting what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and
I mean, I know my statement also when we went to Milan and sing not so long ago, they sat there from the morning till it was night and learned probably Talmud Tzibah Basar Balpeh, whatever it was. I understand that, but I thought we were going to talk how it was in the old days, how it actually.
Yeah. So how was it? You're asking how it was all the generations. Torah was studied all, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Right. It was studied all, and when they learned in yeshivas is in a higher level, they had in mind to learn through all of Shas. In Volozhin, they learned through all of Shas. My understanding is that the change in curriculum and the thing came because of the Haskalah, because of the secularization. And because they were pulling so many of those who were learning away from learning with the lure of secular knowledge and secular life, that they had to concentrate on the Torah to make it as geschmack, as, you know, as compelling and as it could be. And that's why it can they started focusing on an eightness. Let me just put it this way. Before, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah and Yotes Amud Aleph, says, Ligrois, the Rava says, V'hodah Lizbor. Should be Geiris. You should know the Girsa. You should know the text. And afterwards, understand the Iyun. Understand the depth. And they would go through Masechtas and Shas, Gemara Rashi. They would, before before they would go into any depth. But because they had all of this great breadth of knowledge, and afterwards it would go further. It so happened, though, that generally, you know, because of the financial situation, only those who became rabbonim, those who were able to be supported and keep on learning, would have the ability to continue on their learning. Besides the learning through Shas and the broad thing, they would spend their time learning Be'iyun. A person who is working really could not do that. So it's enough that you go through the Masechtas, you go through Shulchan Aruch, you go. But, yeah, whatever, it depends on what level they had. But only really the elite, I mean, those who were way beyond, who in their adult years and after marriage could continue on, would really study Torah in its real, in a true depth. But those years that they're not studying in depth, and they were studying in broad thing, the Torah is not so geschmack. It's not so. It is, but it's not. You don't. And it was in those years that the students were more susceptible to the call of the scholar, and that's why they focused. When they study the Gemara, they focused on the Ketzos HaChoshen and the Reb Kiv Eger. Later on Reb Chaim and the Talmidim of Reb Chaim and the whole yeshivas. So when they learn Torah, they begin to learn Torah at a depth that was not studied before. It was only left for much more advanced than those who had the time. So really, but if you're going to study in such depth, you can't cover ground. There's only so many hours in a day. So it developed a thing that they really don't cover ground. And they're spending in depth, but it has the shortcoming of if you don't have the breadth knowledge, even the depth that you study is with severe limitations. But that's unfortunately that was the case. They say the story that the Reb Chaim Brisker, Chaim Soloveitchik, was told with great pride, told somebody was visiting, that his son, says Revelvel, this is the Yitzhak Zev, came from the Goyna Goynim. He was 16 years old and he learned all of Shas with Rashi. And the person asked him, and it was a great time, so it's only with Rashi. So he said, behold, if you don't know Gemara Rashi, if you don't know the thing, so you can't learn anything. You don't have that broad knowledge, you can't even learn the particulars. That's how they quote from Reb Chaim. So that's really, that created the change. And I think it really is a result of the Haskalah. But because of that, at least they were able to keep them. And I think that which we have, the flowering of Torah that we have today...
It's a result of us, or it was also a result of the lack of the matzah was installed on the Akbar, were susceptible to such things because they didn't have knowledge. It was like...
Well, you're asking yourself because of knowledge, but yes and no. Part of the terrible problem then was the terrible poverty and the discrimination. And he says, you know what? If you become knowledgeable in the sciences and you get an education, the goyim will respect you. And if the goyim will respect you, you'll have a much easier life. And that had a tremendous pull. And they started, even people that were nominally Orthodox, they started in their publications and they had science in the publications. And you know, to give them...
And they looked at it as a government.
What?
It was looked at as a separate... Torah was more...
And Torah, they came with a zilzal of Torah. And there's a whole world out there. And really it came, and they didn't see in the Torah, they did it because of a faith. They didn't see it because it's, wow, it's amazing.
So there
was
a concern in the
Torah
also.
Well, I don't know.
And you're learning the thing.
Well, you're asking is it a concern in their learning? I don't know if it's a concern in the Torah. If you have an atmosphere of Yerushalayim, and you're totally embedded, because that's all you know. The Jews who were in the shtetl, and they didn't know of anything else. So this is, it was fine. But once you have the lure of something else, it's not so fine. And the Yerushalayim was also, you know, there's a Yerushalayim that comes with age, which comes with great thought. And there's Yerushalayim just comes, it's you take it for granted, of course. What else is there? And when people start questioning, you really don't have answers. And that also, and the Musar movement was also created as a result of the Haskalah. Because they saw the inroads and what it did. And they saw also that the people needed was a severe lack of real Yerushalayim. And therefore their midos, they feed the Yerushalayim, were mekulkel. You talk of the way they acted, because they don't have that the sense of godliness. I have to realize in the Goyisha world itself, the sense of godliness also, because of the Enlightenment, also became weakened, diluted. And the people themselves became less religious. So everything together. So I think I believe that's why in the yeshivas took the position that they took. So you'll find people that, you know, unless later on they continue on and, you know, and spend the time to gain the knowledge that they would have gained otherwise.